Okay, this week's Parsha, Vayishlach, as Yaakov is coming back, and he's about to encounter his dear brother, who's out to kill him with his 400, army of 400 individuals, private army. Yaakov Avinu prepares in three ways for the encounter. Number one is Milchama, he's ready for war. Number two, he prepares a gift, sends numerous gifts, a very elaborate gift. And number three is tefillah. And as part of this tefillah, he says as follows, we're on page Shin Vav. Says, Katonti mikola chasadim v'chol ha'emes asher asisa savdecha. I have been lessened. I have been decreased from all of the chasadim HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have done unto me. So we're on the second paragraph down, where it says, "Begemara b'Shabbes Lamed Beis Amud Alef Muva Rabbi Yani Amar Leolam Al Yamod Adam B'Makom Sakana Lomar Sheosim Lo Neis." And somebody should never put himself in a dangerous situation, saying, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do a miracle for me." Shema Ein Osim Lo Neis, because in fact, a miracle may not be done for the person. So never put yourself into a matzav of sakana. V'mosim lo neis, but maybe a neis will be done. Also, that's not good. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu does a neis for you to protect you from a sakana. V'mosim lo neis, menakim lo mischuyosav. If that's the case, that a neis was done and protect you, that will decrease the merits that you have in the world to come. So you're using up some of your brownie points, in other words, if you take on that nace. Amar Rabbi Chani Maikra, where do we learn that from? We learn it from our pasuk. Katonti mikola chasadim mikola emes. I have been diminished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have done so many chasadim for me. And Rashi explains, shechuktenu v'nitmatu zuchuyasai bishvil chasadim asher asisa. That my merits have been decreased. This is what Yaakov is saying. You've done so many chasadim for me. My merits have been decreased because of all the chasadim that you have done for me. So we see here, don't put yourself into matzav of sakana, because even if you're saved, that's also not good, because it takes away from the merits that you have earned in life. Could be.
Is this addressing the issue of tefillah or not?
It's part of the tefillah. The real tefillah is a little bit later, but that's part of the tefillah that he has. So what we're going to do, that's the rest. That's the tefillah. This is the introduction to the tefillah. So our sugya is going to be putting ourselves into a sakana, but we're going to talk about one specific sniff of that, one specific part of it. So we'll introduce it in a second. We're on page Shin Zayin, third paragraph, where it says Kasav HaRambam. This is the Rambam in Hilchas Rotzeach Ushmiras Nefesh. The question is, if somebody says, you know what, I'm okay putting myself into a situation of sakana, we would apply this nowadays, for example, to somebody who wants to start smoking. Not a good idea. Harbe Dvorei Masru Chachami Bnei Sheyesh Bem Sakanas Nefashos. There are many things that Chazal said specifically, they are a sakanas nefashos, v'chol ha'over aleihen. And anyone who wants to say, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to put myself into sakana. What do other people care? It's none of their business. Or I'm not makbid on this sakana. The Rambam tells us, makin osho makas mardus. There is lashes. It's violating Issur Derabanan, and the person would be chayv lashes, makas mardus, for putting himself into a situation where Chazal prohibited it. We're talking about physical danger now. Yeah, we're talking about physical danger then. So Shin Tes, page Shin Tes, top left, the Rama brings some examples all based on Gemara's Rama. Higia vechein yizar mikol dvarim amivin lidei sakana. We have to avoid all things that bring us into sakana, talking about physical sakana, and then a famous concept that sakanta chamira mi'isurav, that we're more machmir on a sakana than an isser. If there's something that's prohibited from the Torah, an isser, and something that's prohibited because of a sakana, we're even more machmir on a sakana. V'yishlachush yoseh l'safek sakana mi l'safek isser. And even if it's a safek sakana, we're more machmir than a safek isser. And he brings various examples. One is, don't walk under a wall that is bending to fall. That's putting yourself into a sakana. Don't walk around yechidi balayla. Don't walk around by yourself, for example, in dangerous areas. Don't put yourself into a sakana. We have a spectrum of sakana. You know, that's what we're about to discuss. There's a spectrum of sakanas, and we have everything is a sakana. I had a Rebbe, a Rav in Los Angeles, who used to say that every day in his Shema Koleinu, he says Tefillah Sederach. In his Shemona Esrei, when he says, because it's such a sakana, he's just walking around. Cars walking around, drivers were reckless. He held that everything was a sakana. Now, he would say it in the context of Shema Koleinu, but he wouldn't say it as a standalone bracha, but he said that every day he knows it's a sakana. So there's a spectrum of sakanas, and we have to say certain ones are more of a sakana, certain things are of less of a sakana. Certainly, wherever we go nowadays, regardless, we have to keep our eyes open and be alert. That's the key thing. Right, we have to keep our eyes open, and we have to be fully alert. So Shintes, second paragraph down, this is the introduction to what our topic is. The Rambam says that one of the prohibitions, and this is brought in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, of not putting ourselves into sakana is not drinking certain liquids that were left alone uncovered. Mayim megulin. But Rambam, Kasa, Vezela, Shonala, Yeshtem, Mayim megulin. We cannot drink water and other liquids, we'll see in a little bit, that were left uncovered without supervision. Shema shasa man nachashu kiyotzebo. It's maybe a drink from it, a nachash, a poisonous snake. Ukiyotzebo mizachalai afar v'yishtaviyamus. And or other types of poisonous creatures that we may drink from it, and we may chas v'shalvah aleinu die. So Chazal said, this is an occurrence, and it's interesting, when Chazal made this decree, it was a common enough occurrence that it rose to the level of a real concern that they made a gezeira to not drink certain liquids that were left uncovered. So the Rambam continues. Rambam goes through in detail which are the liquids that are prohibited, which aren't. Mayim, water, yayin, which is wine, afilu mazug, even if it's diluted, afilu hiskel, ishtanus tamal achomis, even if it started turning into vinegar. Vinegar, no, but if it's in the process of turning, yes. Chalav, which is milk, vahad vash, vahad sir, and dvash is honey, and sir is brine. Those are the categories of, well, that's our sugya. That's our topic. Do we have to be makbid on this? Because as we know, as oftentimes we will not sit in the same room, we'll have a cup of water or maybe coffee, whatever it is, we leave it sitting there, we walk out of the room, and we come back and we continue drinking. Is that an iser derabanan of leaving something unsupervised, uncovered, and then drinking from it? So
it's only the bear.
No, it's not only the bear, it's also the bear. Also the bear, but any liquid that's left unattended, there's a difference maybe how much water, but it's also, if I leave this cup, if I put this cup on and I leave it in back and couldn't drink it, it was unsupervised. Now, the tour goes into a lot of details on this halachas. We're on the bottom of Shin Test, the bottom left, the Tur Yoredea, says, V'kama yushu megulin v'yabem mishum giloi. How long does it have to pass that it's left uncovered, that we have alone? What happens if I go out for a second? 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds. So the amount of time it takes, assuming that the nachash is there, how much time it takes for the nachash, the snake, or other poisonous reptile, whatever it is, to come out? No. We'll talk about it. We'll talk. Very good question. So it's the amount of time it would take for the snake to come out, insert the eris, insert the poison, and go back. It's very short. Now, the Chazon Ish was makbid for the shortest of time. The Chazon Ish was makbid for a minuscule amount of time. If it wasn't supervised, He would not add from it. Okay, now that's the amount of time. How much? We're talking about 1900s. We're talking about 1900s, right. Now, Tel Aviv was, Bnei Brak was not a built-up metropolitan area at that point. It was fairly barren. I remember being up north in Israel and having scorpions. I forget where it was, but there were snakes. I had a snake by us, but it wasn't a poisonous one. But we found a snake in our garden. There was a snake in the garden.
Snakes in Israel, we have in HaKodesh, we have a whole sheath of all this.
Where?
In
Hatzalah. Oh, but how often do they find...
In the north, they find them.
In the city, I'm saying. In the city.
In this city? Well, when we started, first built, I remember we had somebody's came out of somebody's dream, a black snake.
Okay, so that was... So we had one a couple months ago. But it wasn't poisonous. It was like a gardener's snake, probably. I was fairly surprised. I could not believe my eyes because I never saw a snake in Yerushalayim. But we had it. Okay. So when it comes to the time, amount of time, very little time if it goes unsupervised. How much is it? Meaning, if it's just a little bit, or does it have to be a lot? So the Torah also says, "Kama shir mashkim sheish b'mishim guli b'kli ein lam shir hen rav hen mat." A lot or a little, we don't distinguish. It is the same deen. So we're going through the high-level halachas. We're talking about a number of types of liquids. We're talking about any amount of the liquid, the amount of time, even a very small amount of time. The Chazon Ish was very machmir on that, but it should be the amount of that it takes a snake to go back and forth with Meikar Adin.
Hazal wrote it with the time or without?
We're going to talk about that. Very good question, because there's a big nafkamina on that. So Shin Yud... Page Shin Yud, we're on the left side. We're going to go through more of the halachas. This is all based on the Gemara. Pasachin v'hatur. We're in the second large paragraph. Shin Yud on the left side. Pasachin v'hatur. Demashkim shenizgalu lo yishvechem lirshus harabim. When you have water and it was left unsupervised, don't pour it into rishus harabim. Shema yavor aleim adam yachet. Because maybe somebody will walk on it and barefooted, and the poison could get through if he has a wound on his foot or something like that. It could be dangerous. So don't pour it in a public area. Don't pour it around, spritz it around your house. And don't use your bare hands to mix it into teat, into
cement, clay, whatever it is.
Don't feed it to your behema, because it may keep out tashkas, you may kill your animal. The water that was left unattended, it shouldn't have any of these uses. Don't drink it to your animal, feed it to your animal. V'lo behema chavera, don't give it to your friend's animal. V'lo yirachatz man panav yada v'raglav, don't wash your hands, your feet, don't wash your body, because it could eventually enter the body and it could be dangerous. V'tzarech, that last sentence in the paragraph, V'tzarech Adam Lizaher Be'elu Hadvarim Me'od. We have to be very careful about these issues. Lahachmir Besveiko. Even if it's a suffix, typically we say suffix derabanan le kula. Lahaka, we're lenient if it's a suffix of derabanan. Here we see that if we have a suffix, and this is a derabanan, don't go lahaka, we'll go lahachmir. Shiyozer Yichmiru Besveiko. We're more machmir on a sakana than on an iser. Now, the question then somebody asked before is, we're not pretty careful about what we ignore this nowadays. And this is brought la halacha in the Rambam. This is brought la halacha in the Torah. This is brought la halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. So what would be a basis for us to ignore what is a mefurish iser derabanan? So on Shin Yud Aleph, top right, Tosfos comes along and says as follows: Tosfos b'Avodazara l'Amidei Amud Aleph Kasvu va'anu shein nechashim mitzuyim beinenu ein lachush mishum gilui. Tosfos says that we have a reason for this one, and the reason is gilui. Don't leave it uncovered because of snakes. But nowadays, says Tosfos, writing 800 years ago, something like that. That nowadays that we don't have snakes commonly around, we don't have to worry about this halacha of supervising the liquids.
It probably means in our homes.
It could be that they only drank in their homes, but he's saying we don't have snakes anywhere. I can't imagine if there were snakes common outside that they didn't used to find them sometimes inside their house. It's not like they had these hermetically sealed doors like we have a little bit better than they do. Right? So
two things.
In Europe, yes. Right.
By this time, already cities are a little bit more developed. So
this is still 800 years ago.
I know they're not large. I'm not talking about New York City or Ushuaia, but maybe 200, 300, 400 people living in small clusters.
I can tell you that depends where you go. I was in the Amazon, and on the boats they have these outboards, you know, and they have like a canvas roof.
Yeah.
And I asked the guy, "What is it? Why we have it?" The king's roof. He says, "Because snakes fall from the trees."
All right. So our question is, and Tosa's going to have to, Tosa's going to address this, that typically when we have a gzeira of Chazal, and the reason for the gzeira does not apply, what do we say? The gzeira still applies. We look right. So he says, "Vein lo mar de davar shbeminyan hu v'tzarech minyan achar la'atiro." How can you say that it doesn't apply anymore? Typically, we say, "What Chazal have instituted a basin, instituted a gezera? It would have to be overruled from a basin gadol b'menu v'chokma minyan. You can only overrule it when you have a second basin that's greater than it in chokma and minyan. So how can we say that this doesn't apply anymore?"
No,
that's not the case. This was a gzeir of Chazal that was accepted, period. Ki bevadaihu. So he says, what are we going to do with that? You need it to all be overruled. We can't say, it just doesn't apply anymore. It applies until it's overruled. Ki vadaihu kisha'asu tchila. He says, when Chazal instituted this decree, lo asu ela b'makom shenachashim mitzuyim. They only instituted in places that there are snakes, that the danger exists. But if it's not in a place that the danger exists, this zera doesn't apply. So that's Tosfos. That's how the Tor paskins and the Shulchan Aruch also paskins that way. We're mekos b'mashkim shenisgalu. Chazal were asur because a snake may have ba'achshav shenachashim mitzuyim b'nein umutar. Nowadays, paskins the Shulchan Aruch. 500 years ago in Tzfas, that nowadays that we don't have snakes around commonly, this gzeira would not apply. In other words, so next, we'll get to the Chazanish in a little bit nonetheless. So just the Precious is an interesting mnemonic to remember which of the categories of liquids are prohibited. So it's the Michash Chash. We're on Shin Yud Aleph, bottom right, two lines from the bottom. The priest says as follows, the Michash Chash. That's the remember. Whoever is concerned about this should be concerned about it. In other words, it's not Mikar Adin, says the priest, but if you want to worry about it, you can worry about it. Kilomar, what is the Michash? Dalit Mem Yud Chet Shin. Dalit is Dvash. Mem is Mayim. Yun, Yud, Yayin, Ches, Chalav, Shin, Shum. Shum, I guess, is sear, another word for brine or something. Hainu, Shebizmana ze ein iser, Bigilui. Nowadays, there's no iser, like the Torah said, but whoever wants to be concerned about it, Chash, should worry about it. So, the Michash, Chash. The Michash, Chash. Now, there are a number of Achronim, prominent Achronim, that were still makbet about this. The Shla was makbid about this. He said, look, the Torah wrote all the details of the halachas here. We have to be concerned. The Gra was very makbid about this. Both Meikar Adin and also because Al-Pisod, Al-Pikabalah, the Gra was very makbid about this. The Pri Chadash, where in Shin Yud Aleph, left column, where it says, Ube Pri Chadash, two paragraphs in the bottom, Ube Pri Chadash, Kaset, Ashulchan Orach, Lo diber el rak b'medina seinu. The Shulchan Aruch is not giving a blanket statement that it doesn't apply anywhere. He's saying where there are not snakes, it doesn't apply. Where there are snakes, and there are many snakes, that there are places that there are snakes, there are scorpions. V'gam b'Yerushalayim v'agafei. Even in Yerushalayim and the environs, afal pishei mitzuyin arbe, maybe it's not that common, but because it is common somewhat.
Because it's mitzuyin katsa, because they are found there, they can be found there, a yirei nefesh should be makbid about this.
By the way, this is what's in the house going to the boat that I saw a rattlesnake.
Yeah. Okay, so we...
So
we would say, based on the Tichot Ev saying, if you're in a place that there are snakes, it may not be that common, but they are, they can be seen, then we would have to be makbid about this. So the Chazon
Ish apply to other different chazal that were...
We're going to look a little bit into that question in
the
Manual.
The other thing that, where they gave a time, is that only applying that?
So we'll go into that in a little bit, but that's a very broad question. I don't know if we've ever done Chalav Akum here. Chalav Yisrael, Chalav Akum, but
if you don't have any key, you should just close the door.
Okay.
Close the bay and close the lights.
And somebody will bark a letter? Okay, shkach. Okay, so the Chazon Ish, as we mentioned, was very makbid. He was makbid about leaving tea uncovered. He was makbid about leaven being uncovered. Unless there was like a cream cover on top of it, like a filament on top of it. He says, then you'd be able to see. You'd be able to see if a snake or a scorpion was in. So there are certain things. But otherwise, he was very makbid about it. And we'll see in a little bit. Also, we'll talk about how about water for Netilas Yadayim that was left uncovered. That's relevant if we prepare from the night before. We prepare the water from so we can wash quickly in the morning. How about if it's Maim Guluim, you left it uncovered, can it be washed? So the Chazon Ish would not use such water. There's one time that he had water, I guess he poured it into the washing cup or however it was. I don't know if they had running water, but they had it, and he had to run out for a second. He appointed somebody to watch over the water for him, because he knew if he went out and came back, he would no longer be able to use it for even a Tiles Yadayim. So Manuel asked an excellent question. Since when do we, and when does this concept come up that when you have a gzeir of chazal and the tam no longer applies, we can say, okay, we don't have to adhere to that. So Chalav Yisrael is a time we'll see that. Meaning, when we get to that sugya, you left the gzeir of chazal is you should have a Jew that watches the chalav. How about in a place where we're confident we know there's no treif milk, either there's no treif milk around, or we have governmental supervision, so we have the fear of the government instilled upon the dairy farm, so they're not going to treat. Can we, even though the gzeir chazal is to not have it, and you need to be watching the actual milking process, but if the tam no longer applies, because we're not concerned about treif milk entering the milk supply, can we be mekel? So that we have that question. So we'll deal with that when we get to Chalav Yisrael. The similar concept of having a treif cheese. When you have treif cheeses. Now, when it comes to treif cheese, the Tor and others bring many reasons, not just one reason. When it comes to Maim Guluim, there's only one stated reason. When it comes to treif cheeses, the reasons are that it's the cheese is, what's the process of making cheese? I forget, not fermented. It's not pasteurized, that it's the chemical enzymes, that the whole process is done within an animal. Whatever it is, we're all forgetting our English. So you put it into an animal stomach or whatever it is, and the cheese and the enzyme go through the
emulsification.
Yacholia. Yacholia. Or because they put shuman, they put fat, lard on it, or because they mix in chaylev that's tame or milk that's not kosher. There are various reasons brought down. So there we say even if a tam doesn't apply, the gzeir still applies. Now what's the difference? Manuel's asking, what's the difference?
When it, you ingest?
What?
This is only about something you ingest?
No, not dafka.
In other words, because I had a story about whether it was about the Hosenberg Raber, they brought him water to drink because he hadn't drank for like 3 days in the shower when he was and he used it for washing his hands. So...
Oh, okay. No, but it's probably because he had two minus hats, so he hasn't had washed. So you're not even supposed to hold the water until you washed the Netilas Yadayim. And there that would make sense because the Chamir Sakanta Misura, right? Mm-hmm. You have to. Okay. So why is it that when we come to Mayim Gluim that the Tam, if the Tam doesn't apply because there's no snakes and scorpions, we can get rid of the Isser. And when it comes to Gvina, for example, the Gvina Vakum, we don't say the same thing. So there are various Yishuvim reconciliations brought down on this. We're on Shin Yud Gimel left side, where it says Yishuv Rison, second line down. So Debemashkim Lekka Lemizar Yishari Lo Beduchta Deleka Nechashimati Nami Lemisha Beduchta Yitan. When it comes to Mayim Gluim, when it leaves to liquids that were left unsupervised, we don't have a concern that if we're going to dispense with the Isser in one place that didn't have snakes, we're going to dispense with it in another place where there are snakes. Because there's only one stated reason. But if you have an Isser that has multiple stated reasons, three, four reasons, you're going to dispense with it in one place that none of the reasons apply, but you're going to forget that there are multiple reasons. So go to another place, and one of the reasons don't apply, but you forget there are three other reasons that apply. So, independent exegesis has four reasons for it. So that's one reason. Now, the Bach brings a second reason, that the whole concept here of is a chash, is a concern. Maybe poison went in. If that chash doesn't exist, we can get away with the Yisr, as opposed to Gvina. It's ne'esar b'minyan mitam vada Yisr. It's not that it was a chash of an Yisr. There's a vada Yisr. It's vada prohibited because they're using treif. So that's something, if you can't say, oh, that chash. It's a vada Yisr. We're concerned if vada Yisr exists. So it's prohibited. Here it was always based on a chash. It's always a chash. This water is nothing wrong with it. This water, it's just a chash. If something came in, if that chash doesn't, it's fine. But when you have something that's a vada yisur, vada yisur treif, then that's the concern, so we can't dispense with it. So various reasons are brought down, but it's clearly accepted by the poskim that there's a stated reason for it, there's one reason for it, and Chazal, when they instituted it, they only instituted it with the view that if the tam doesn't apply, the prohibition doesn't apply. That's very important.
The example that comes to mind is dancing on Shabbos. Maybe someone will have an instrument, and maybe it will break, and maybe someone will be able to fix it. So we want to avoid that scenario. So he said, so the post can bring, as they said, nowadays it's very rare that somebody is an expert.
Some post can say, we don't know how to fix it. But
isn't that an example where we have one tam, and it's very rare that...
On the other hand, there are poskim that say that you don't know how to fix a guitar. My own kids know how to tighten a guitar if the string comes out. So we do know. But there are other, if I remember correctly, we did that sugya not too long ago. There are other ta'amim also there. So I don't think it's just that one, but I'll have to look it up. Okay, so let's continue. Question was asked, how about if it's left in a fridge? Sometimes we have a cup of water, we just want to put it in the fridge, or we lose the cap to the wine bottle or to the milk, and we just put it in the fridge anyway. That's a fairly common occurrence. Oh, where's the blue cap?
I prepare the water before I go to davening in the morning, so I come back and I have a great time in my
cold water.
Cold water from the machine,
and you put it into the fridge. So is there a problem because you're leaving it uncovered? Oh, good. Very good. There you have nothing you can do, right? So the Shevet Alevi was asked this question. He said, we're not makbid. If it's in the fridge, because snakes typically don't go into the fridges, it's a closed area. So he's makel, and even the Chazon Ish was makel on that. So that's in a fridge. And the question was asked, the Chaf HaChaim discusses, how about if it's not in a fridge, but if it's in a closed suitcase, a closed cabinet or something like that. So he says that we can also, as long as it's closed, it's not going to be a problem as long as the reach and the tam, the smell and the taste, don't change. So you don't have a concern that something was put into it. Then we can be makel also. So
fridge,
it's not only fridge.
The same bin for kiddush or uncovered.
We'll talk about kiddush in a little bit. Very good questions. Very good questions.
If you put something in the fridge that's uncovered, it may very well absorb some of whatever smell is in the fridge. And so that wouldn't.
Yeah. I don't know, reach and tam.
Yeah. And something.
I guess, what we would say, because it's a sakana, we're going to be machmir. Meaning, as long as there's a certain concern now that something happened to it, we're going to be machmir. We're not going to take a chance on it. So how about netilas yadayim? So we mentioned the tour before that if you mayim guluim were machmir, that you can't use it to wash your face, wash your hands. This is brought lalach in the Rambam, that this one of the things that makes the water puzzle to wash netilas yadayim is gilui. If you left the water uncovered, I had a roommate in yeshiva that used to prepare his Netilas Yadayim, as I'm going to say, as we all should, but then I'll take it back, as we all should, he used to prepare it the night before, but he used to put the kli, used to cover it up. Obviously, the problem is, if you're married, you're waking your wife up, possibly, when you're pouring in the morning. So I used to do this, and now I no longer do it, because it's not wise to wake your wife up for this, so then we're going to be makel and just run to the sink. It's a machlokas whether you should go for less than 4 amos and stop in less than 4 hours and stop, or run to the sink because we have tuma on our hands.
Sink where?
In the bathroom. In the bathroom. Our bathroom.
Rashi's going into this. I see it's an opinion in the Mishnah Berurah that you could go in your house anywhere.
The Mishnah Berurah himself says we should run. He says we should run. We should go quickly to get the tuma off the hands. So, in any case, if we left it uncovered there, the Torah says that nowadays that we're not concerned about giloy, even if the water was left uncovered, you didn't turn a kli on top of it, we would be kosher for netilas yadayim. There are others that are machmir on this, saying if you left it uncovered, don't wash netilas yadayim. And the Yaivitz says in the middle, where it's in a place, heichad eshchich in a chashim, if you're in a place that you have snakes, then don't use it for netilas yadayim. Otherwise, you can use it for netilas yadayim. So that's a corollary of these dinim here. This is a fascinating question. When there's a concept of lavud. Lavud, we see it a lot in sukkahs, anything that's within 3 tefach of something else, then we have lavud, and the halacha says that it's all enclosed. So if you have slats in your sukkah, making up your walls, and then within 3 tefach, this is closed. So do we say the same thing that we have within lavud of area? We have something that's uncovered, water that's uncovered, and can we assume that it's enclosed really, and that we don't have a problem of mind gluyim, that a snake couldn't get in because we have it closed up because of lavud, right? We're closing up the gaps. Interesting question. Minchas Yitzchak says no, that's a halachic concept. And when it comes to Mayim Gulim, you have to look at the Metzias. And the Metzias is that a snake could get in. So we do not say Lavud in these cases. So it's a very interesting question. The Poskim talk about also, do we have Batal Bashishin when it comes to, if you have concerned about poison getting in, should we say with poison? Do we say Batal Bashishin? So it's a Machlokas of the Poskim. Some say Some say, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Right? Here we could say because it's bottle, so it wouldn't be dangerous, but it depends on what the venom is and how strong it is. And in any case, it is a machlok, it's just to point out. Okay, when it comes to Kiddush, so this actually comes up in a couple scenarios. Where it really comes up is at the Lel Seder, Koshel Eliyahu, that it's left on the table and some people come and they have Kiddush on it the next morning. So is there a problem with that if it was left uncovered? Or another example would be Lel Shimurim. I hear.
Uncover it.
Unless it's a Shriach, is the Hezek a Shriach, then if it's a common, then we wouldn't rely on that. And another possibility is if you Kiddush, if you have a Birkas HaMazon on the Kos, at Suda Shlishis, and you come and you have that for Havdalah, then does it have to be covered? Or just if you had the, you poured your cup, this is a real Shaila for Yekis. If you could pour the Kiddush cup and everyone went to wash, right? We're a majority Yekis here. And you went to wash, and no one washed the Kiddush, no one washed the cup.
You washed at home?
Of course. And I don't wash the cup.
So we have the question. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. We're on Shin Yud Zayin in the paragraph right side, move up a poskim. We're 4-5 lines down. Shin Yud Zayin, right side, move up a poskim. The paragraph 5 lines down. Pasuk b'Shulchan Aruch, de'ein mekadshin al yayin megula, that we do not say Kiddush on wine that was left uncovered. Afilu ha'idna delo kaptina nagila. Even nowadays, that we're not makbin on mayim geluyim, on yayim geluyim. Nowadays, we're lenient on all that. When it comes to Kiddush, we are machmir. If the wine was not watched, we cannot say Kiddush on it. So the 3 reasons brought down by the poskim. Number one, the Magen Avraham says, there's a pasuk in Malachi that says, ha'kriveu na, the fechasecha. What does that mean? So the concept of, in the context in Malachi saying that is that there was a The pasuk says that would you bring a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was a blind animal, or was a lame animal, a defective animal? And the pasuk says, would you bring that to your governor? In other words, would you bring it, if you're going to bring a gift to the President of the United States, would you bring something defective? Yes. Of course not. Well, nowadays we would, it depends, but in, if we were the proper President, would we bring it? So we obviously wouldn't. So of course, don't bring the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So in other words, this is looked at as a defect in the wine because it was left uncovered. So that's reason number one. Reason number two is brought by the Torah Chaim. Maybe I'll be Kabbalah, I don't know exactly, that the Mekadshim b'Shabbos, the Kiddush on Shabbos, is a remez to the wine that is protected and put away, ganuz, liyom shekula Shabbos. It's like represents the grape that protects the wine on the inside, that protects the juice on the inside. So too, the wine that we're using, which represents the special wine that's protected in the grapes for the world to come, we also have to protect the wine that's in the cup. So that's the second concept. And the third concept is brought by the Eitzei Almogim. He says that we're concerned that if we leave it uncovered, certain animals may have put their ruach, their spit, into the wine, and there may not be a proper shear, enough of the wine or the grape juice, in order to say the bracha on it. So the concern is, yeah, that you could still drink it, but that it raises the question, if you're concerned that they may put the spit in, why aren't you concerned about the poison? So that question has actually been asked on this third reason, but nonetheless, we have two reasons. Let's see. What? So let's look. Shin Yud Zayin, left side, Ba'ayin B'mish Nebur, right in the middle. How do we paskin? Bottom line. Ba'ayin B'mish Madur Shekasav, De'ein Mekachin B'yayin Megula, we don't say Kiddush on wine that was left uncovered. Afilu Ein Lo Yayin Achar, even if you have no other wine. Even if you had one cup, no other wine, you left it uncovered. Vafilu B'dievet, in Kidesh, Mashma Medivya Ramban, Shuvah B'Beisoset Lo Yatsa, if you said Kiddush on wine that was left uncovered, unsupervised, you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah. That's very machmir. V'afta lo kapina nagiloi mishum shein metzui metzla. And a menachashiv, even though nowadays we're not machmir on giloi, because we don't have snakes commonly found. Afilo hachi asur mishum akriveyu na lefecha sech. It brings the first reasoning down. Don't do it because it's not the right, it's not the nice thing to do, to bring something that's pogum to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Miyu im amad sha'am wetes megula. If it was just, doesn't mean an hour, a short amount of time, the time it takes for you to wash, to go and wash and come back. Now, we're assuming that no one was around, that everyone went to wash at the same time. Because if somebody is around, then it's not a problem.
And we're assuming that your washing is like out in the back. Like,
but even if it's a shamuetes, a small amount of time, it could be a couple minutes, I don't know exactly. Megula ein lahakbirai na kozman shalo namar tamavrecha. As long as the taste and smell didn't change, in other words, we don't have a reason to be concerned. As long as a short amount of time, it would be acceptable. So that is the psak of the Mishnah Berurah.
The dining room sinks comes from?
This dining room.
So the minute for the dining room sinks?
Yeah, very good. Very good. It's because of my Yayin Galuyim. So the Ben Ish Chai says, this is relevant for the Lel Seder, that if it went overnight, Begilui, all night it was uncovered, that's possible. Even if the smell and taste didn't change, all night would be a real psul in it. Okay, so when it comes to Kiddush, we are more Machmir.
Fridge
were Mekel.
No, meaning
you
had wine uncovered in the fridge.
Mekel, yeah. I hear the question. Okay, so let's analyze it. If it's the three reasons, if it's hakrivehu na, then kipshuto, we would be mekel. Maybe would be mekel. If it's because of the second, Toras Chaim, because it's like the has to be covered like the grape, maybe we would be machmir. And based on the third reason, that we're concerned about the rock, the spit getting in, we would be mekel. So I think it probably depends on the tam. It's a very good question.
No, but that's the scenario where you lose the cap or something.
Yeah. So just and for wine, but good question. Havdalah question. The poskim talk about Havdalah. Some poskim say that Havdalah is the same as Kiddush. Some say that we're machmir just like Kiddush. Some say that we're actually only machmir. Divrei Malkiel says we're only machmir Friday night. But when it comes to Shabbos day on Kiddush and Havdalah, we're Mekel because you could use Chamer Medina in any case. So it's a machlokas if we're machmir on Havdalah or not, if it was uncovered. Bottom right, Shin Yud Chet, bottom right, Mishnah Brura, Amnam, but Mishnah Brura, Hevi, should be Chudusha, Rabbi Yekiva, Eger, Shemistapek, Bazet. Imuto la Havdalah, Yain, Kazet. So the Rabbi Yekiva, Eger, is a Safek, and you say Havdalah on wine that was left uncovered. Uladas, on Mishnah Brura, Pashur, Hadavar, Le Isser. Kevan Shatam, Hu, Mishuma, Kriveyu, Naz. He's Machmir on Havdalah. Like Kiddush, but we would say the same thing by Havdalah as Kiddush. He said even if it's for a short amount of time, it's okay. We would lechora say the same thing by Havdalah because he was bringing the same time. So let me just recap and we'll conclude and have a Dvar Torah and Parsha. Our sugya based on Yaakov Avinu saying katonti mekol hachasadim. If you put yourself into a matzav sakana and you're saved, it decreases your merit. So we shouldn't put ourselves into a matzav of sakana, into a situation of sakana. So based on that, we used an example of what is that Chazal decreed is a sakana that we can't do it. Ma'im geluyim, demi chashchash, five categories, and we saw the Chazanish was makbid even on things that weren't in the categories, like tea, I guess that's water, leaven, things like that. That were makbid on other things. In addition, this is paskins in the Rambam Tur and Shulchan Aruch that we have to be makbid to not leave liquids unattended because there's concern that certain types of poison may have been inserted in it. But we did see, based on the Tosfos, and this is how the Tur and Shulchan Aruch paskin, that nowadays, if you live in a place that there are not snakes and scorpions, we can be lenient. Nonetheless, we certainly, that's the minhag olam to be lenient, but when it comes to Kiddush wine, we do have reasons that we have to be more machmir. So if it was left unattended for a real amount of time, it should not be used. But if it's really a short, quick amount of time, we can be lenient on that. Okay. This week's parsha, you may have heard this before, but we'll say it anyway. In this week's parsha, we have the guardian angel of Yaakov. Of Esav that comes and attacks Yaakov, and Yaakov went by himself to find the pachim ketanim, to find the little things that he left over, and we have a rumble that goes throughout the night, a fight that goes throughout the night, a struggle that goes on throughout the night. Eventually, in the morning, the malach says, "Let me go. I got to go back up to heaven." Now, it's interesting. The Gemara in Chulin tells us that angel of Esav appeared as either a Talmud Chacham or an idolater. That is bizarre. So what is that? There are two shitas in it. So what does that mean? How can that possibly be? So if you look at the dialogue, the conversation between them, when the angel says, "Let me go," Yaakov says, "Well, tell me your name. Tell me your name. What's your name?" First, the angel says to, "What's your name? Give me a bracha." "Okay, my name's Yaakov. Now you're going to be Yisrael." Yaakov then responds to him, "Okay, what's your name?" And the angel says, "Lama tishal shmi? Why are you asking my name?" He didn't say, "I'm not going to give you." He didn't say, "I don't have a name." He didn't say, "I don't want to give you." "Why are you asking my name?" So Rashi says something somewhat cryptic. He says, "My name changes based on whatever mission. Malachim, their nation, their names change." But in fact, this is one malach. This is Esav. This is one. He only has one mission: to be mekatreg to prosecute Klal Yisrael. So what's going on here? So Rav Chaim Dov Keller says as follows: that Shem, the word Shem, is from Sham, over there. In other words, Sham, the place, the location, is a question of what's your essence. And Yaakov Avinu was asking, what is your essence? What defines you? Because he wanted to further understand what this fight would be between Esav and Klal Yisrael going into the future generation, so he could coach his descendants on what is the interactions going to be constantly with the Umas HaOlam. And on that, the angel responds, "Lama tishal shmi? Why are you asking me? My name will constantly be changing." In other words, regardless of what you think I am today, I am going to be something else tomorrow. And as much as you think you can protect against who I am today, I'm just going to change and come in a different guise tomorrow. Lama tishal shmi, there's no benefit of knowing my name, because as soon as you turn around, I'm going to have another name. Be it Hellenism, socialism, communism, feminism, all the isms, whatever it is, those will all be challenges that Klal Yisrael is going to have to deal with. And that's why he says, Lama Tishal Shmi, because no matter what, I'm going to come and I'm going to constantly be challenging you on that. And Yaakov got it. That's the response. Meaning, no matter what, I'm going to be attacking you. Yaakov now understands the challenge that we have, and in fact, that explains the Gemara in Chuli and how it can be a Talmud Chacham at the same time as an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, because it was both. And sometimes we're attacked by somebody saying this is a mitzvah, and it's really not a mitzvah. It's a big avera, but it looks like a Talmud Chacham to us. In parentheses, oftentimes, it's a mitzvah to fight this war. It's a mitzvah to fight this battle. And that's really, it's in parentheses. It's in quotation marks, it's a mitzvah. And sometimes it's clear to us it's an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. But no matter what, we have to be able to realize that even when it looks like a Talmud Chacham, that's coming from the Tzad of Esav and not from a positive
initiative. That's what Rabbi Malevsky says. It's the change, the name changes because it's a Moloch. And I don't know where I got it from. And so you don't know, a Moloch was the last generation was Germany. Now it's whoever was fighting the next
world. Similar. Yes,
similar. Maybe it's a bomb.
All right, have a good Shabbos.